Hey everyone, thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm joined by three smart, sexually open women who let you inside their sex lives and don't spare any details. We're talking sex, dating, seduction, fantasies, and everything in between. Specifically, first time pegging, hot sex with the ex, female ejaculation and ejaculation etiquette, and the one thing men can do that really turns us on. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com and check out everything going on our website. You can easily subscribe to the podcast and subscribe on iTunes. We're also on iHeartRadio now, which is very exciting. And you can find us on Google Play and SoundCloud and Spotify. And we're putting up blogs every day that you will love on our site. And I'm so grateful for all my listeners and for all of you listening and staying in touch on social media as well. It's all at Sex with Emily, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter, all that stuff. You guys are awesome. I love hearing from you. My guests today are also awesome. And I'm already like giddy about this show. And we haven't even started yet. I've got a group of women in here and I don't know them that well. We've just recently met. From what I know about them, they're going to be really open today, sharing their experiences, sex, dating, relationships with you. So hello to my lovely women here. I would love you to start out by telling me your name, your age, your relationship status, and about the last time you had sex.
Okay.
That's fun. That's one. I'll do it as well. Well, not my, yeah. Okay.
I'm Mary. I'm 32. I'm single. And the last time I had sex was with my ex.
Okay, and how was it? Anything you'd like to say? A few sentences about that?
I mean, it's awesome.
Ex-sex is amazing, right?
It's the best.
Right.
Yeah, we just know each other's bodies and we know what buttons to push and it's great.
Okay, good. Love it. Ex-sex. We'll circle back to that perhaps. Okay.
My name is Sarah. I am 31. I am in a committed relationship for a little over 2.5 years. And last time I had sex was yesterday.
And were anything about the sex that you'd like to, positions or things you tried or where was it?
It was kind of an all day thing.
You had like sex all day? I love you. Okay.
Like, like sessions. Like, you know, morning, take a break, eat some breakfast, some eggs, you know, run some errands, come back, more sex, and then
wow. You
had to work.
So it was like Monday. So do you guys just like Tuesday, whatever day it was?
Yeah, so it was like just, I didn't have to work, so right. It was like an all-day thing.
I love
like
it. Was it like foreplay in the morning for breakfast, and then you had like lunchtime oral or something, and then...
It was kind of a combination of all of it, you know, just all day, and then basically he just holds off on coming until when he's ready to at the end. So I get off multiple times a day. So by like 10 p.m., I'm like actually asleep.
Right. So I'm exhausted just listening to it. I think that's amazing. Yeah. Okay. Wow. We're going to get back to that too.
It doesn't happen every time though, just so you know.
He can hold off. He's like trained himself or he's... That's a whole thing.
That is a gift.
That is a gift. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I love it. Next, please.
As I follow that up. Hi, I'm Stephanie. I'm 33. And I had sex like 3 days ago, but I masturbated yesterday.
Oh, okay.
So I feel like I should share that.
How did you use any toys or anything special?
Yes.
Which one?
The Pure Wand and the Crave Duet.
Oh, the Crave Duet. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
nice.
Combo.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. Okay. Just curious. You know, so, I get really like granular. Okay. I said I was going to answer the same thing. So my name, I'm Emily. And my age, whatever. I'm ageless and timeless. No, I'm relationship status. I'm single and dating. And the last time I had sex, okay, I said I was going to answer this. I can't even think it was really mediocre. It's funny, you guys. You think I feel like I've been having some bad sex lately just to be able to talk about it on the show. No, I haven't talked about it yet. It was, oh my God, who did I have sex with? Hold on. You guys have been super busy lately. I didn't have sex in Santa Fe. Oh, no. Okay, so here's what it was. It was with an ex, and we had sex, and it was Oh, okay. I got to back up. Thank you. I'm so glad I talked to my producer, Lark, because she reminded me the last time I had sex. I was going to circle back to like a bad, this was a good sex experience. Okay, you know how they say that you kind of, you put things out there to the universe and mm-hmm. you manifest what you want and you know the more you talk about things are going to happen, right? The whole like secret thing or like affirmations. So we have Sex in the Shower is this line from Sport Cheats. They're one of our sponsors and they make this line of toys called Sex in the Shower. So it's, because Sex in the Shower I think is kind of overrated and a lot of times you know, you can't get into the position. You think it feels like it's a great thing to do,
the
but you can't get,
it.
The water gotcha. Ruins it and the positions are hard and like, let's just do it on the floor. You get out of the bathroom. So we had just shot a video in my house, like showing this new Sex in the Shower line. And I was like, oh, I can't, I have this great shower. I just moved to this new house, two shower heads. And it's like the best part of my house. Yeah. Steam showers and shower heads and this whole thing. I was like, I can't believe I'm shooting this. I've never had sex in the shower. So sure enough, I was having sex with a guy that I kind of a friends with benefit situation. And we were at my house and we've had sex a lot of times in my house. And he's like, let's get in the shower. And I was like, and I hadn't even told him. I was like, yes. Yes, let's do that. I'm totally set up for that. I mean, I didn't say that. I wouldn't be like, stop and be excited. So we go out to my bathroom. We go in the shower. And we had like the whole, and we have some if you guys want. If this interests you, ooh, we've got a box of Sex in the Shower products for you. Yeah, we got the handles. You put it up and there's like a suction handle so you can hold on to it. And there's a foot, like a stool, like a step that suctions to the wall. You put your foot up anyway. And then there's a loofah sponge that has a mesh sponge that has a vibrator in it. Anyway, so we had amazing sex in the shower.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it was great. And I was like, but I actually was able to turn around and use it, not just talk about it. That's what happened.
That sounds
that was my sexual thank you.
My shower
that's
is actually not big enough, though, for
no, it is.
No, legitly, my shower is not big enough for two
really?
People.
Okay. Well,
run through
I'm
the
sponge. Can't make any way. I can't
but
even.
This makes it so you can move it. Okay, we're not going to get into that in a whole second. Well, I'll show you after, you guys. We're going to go shopping. Don't worry. We've got stuff for you.
Awesome.
Okay, so thank you for all that, you guys. Very helpful. I feel like I know you. All right, I'm going to start with some sex in the news here. This came out today, and I think this would be a great way to kick off our conversation here. 60% of women want more sex than their partner does.
Legit.
Yeah, legit?
That sounds real.
You think that sounds real? Okay. What about you guys? Does that surprise you?
Especially once it's in the relationship, like that specific mention of it sounds very feasible to me.
Okay. Right. When I started the show, you know, 12 years ago, I wasn't in this realm of, you know, research. I believe that myth, I think that a lot of us are brought up with that, like men want sex more than women and that women are more frigid and men are always like, you know, they got a boner all the time, which a lot of times they do, but they're always ready for it. And so this I thought was interesting because they asked respondents what they missed most about the initial honeymoon phase that occurs when two people are newly together. And they said that they missed the spontaneity and that the things they most argue about is money and sex. And they just said that they don't have enough sex now. It's not adventurous. And then here was the actual study said 59% of women said they wanted more sex than they got. Only 40% of men felt the same way. So what's your thoughts on that? Have you guys ever been in a scenario like that where you feel like you just wanted more? And maybe it was even intimacy and not just sex, but you just wanted more connection? Or is this familiar to you in any part of your world?
Well, I mean, I've been in a completely sexless relationship before. So, and I remember like the whole time, you know, like buying different lingerie sets and like doing all these like dopey, useless things in out of desperation, like maybe he'll want to fuck me then or whatever.
Right.
And like it was doomed from the start. And looking like in hindsight, I'm like, you are insane that you thought there were different tactics you could use in order to get him to want to sleep with you. When like the bottom line was like, it wasn't me. He just didn't want to have sex.
Right.
You know?
Huh. First of all, that's not insane. But like a lot of women, we try things, you know, lingerie, toys, you know, spicing things up, making dinner, whatever it is, and it doesn't really work. So do you know why he didn't want sex just because that's where he was at in his life or the fire had gone out in your relationship?
It never really sparked. I mean, I've been in other relationships where, sure, you go through a little lull and you try different tactics that actually end up working and things get spiced up again,
right.
You know.
But if you never have it at the beginning.
You never have it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. No.
From the start.
Okay. What about you guys? Anything?
Oh, definitely. Well, one thing I would say,
Stephanie?
Like, that's just a general is I feel like women in relationships are often the ones who are expected to, like, keep things going, you know, and, like, do the lingerie and make dinner and do the seduction and like give him a blowjob when he least expects it. So I think that that can be part of then where when women feel like they're the ones like maybe driving that force, that then the paying attention to, well, are we having enough? And I would like to have more, but then I need to instigate it. So maybe just even some of that stress is part of that feeling right. too. But yeah, I've definitely been in situations where I think like at first they're like, oh, you're super sexual and like, this is fantastic. And then once it becomes like, and you're all mine and I can have sex with you whenever I want to, it's sort of like, well, let's wait till the show's over. Or,
you know? Exactly.
I'm like, but I'm
at that point, like, they take advantage of the situation, I think.
It's, yeah.
It's like you're there. It's you become just kind of put on the back burner a bit.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, and it, like the whole idea of you having to initiate, it's almost like, I'd rather have, like, you initiate it. You come at me,
exactly.
like you used to, you know? You used to come to my door all romantic on Valentine's Day, and now
right.
Valentine's Day is like, oh, yeah, did you want to go to dinner?
Right. Exactly. Well, I think we're talking about
not
that.
Not that I don't like dinner. But right.
No, I get it. I get it. So I think we're talking about that loss of the romance and making mm-hmm. an effort in the relationship. I think that we can all kind of relate to that. And I'm not saying that men don't. The study isn't saying that there aren't situations, believe me, where men want more sex than their partners. I hear from men every single day who say that. I'm just saying, interesting, I thought it'd be a great way to jump off here. So I think we've all been in that honeymoon phase, right, where things are amazing and you don't really have to talk about anything or work on it because it's like that chemistry and it's the newness of it. Is there any scenarios where you can think about where you actually were able to bring it back or things that you've tried that sort of took it to the next level or helped you guys reconnect?
One of the things that I think works and works pretty well is just like kind of building up that appetite again, like where you're not necessarily instigating it, but you sort of like look at your man like he's a piece of meat and just sort of like building that tension again.
Right.
Of just being kind of like, oh, I like, you know, the unexpected or something like in the middle of the day or in the mornings. Like I always feel like that's a good easy way to just kick it off. So it's not like this whole like, well, I have plans for us for Saturday night. And
right.
then, you know, so I think like morning blowjob is a good one to just, you know, like just
knock it out.
Yeah.
Right. And then before you brush your teeth or something just before the shower.
Just like before anybody can really think about anything else that they might have to do that day. And so those are things that I
What about
like
your when you have give a morning blowjob, do you have sex in the morning as well? Do you like having
Oh
sex?
Yeah. I'm kind of like, I'm not always a fruition blowjobber, I guess.
Okay. Okay. You don't reach a fruition.
Yeah. Like,
so you
start
it.
Like, look. Yeah. But
and then you have
and
sex.
Then I'm like, my turn.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like it. Because I think we're also talking about like keeping that, like we were earlier talking about the seduction and how do you keep that interesting? Kind of like continue to seduce your partner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think guys definitely also feel that like they need
do.
To be seduced. They don't want to always be. So I think the communicating about it, like if you're having a lull, like, hey, you haven't had sex with me in a few days. What's going on? And the guy's like, well, I've been stressed or you haven't initiated or I felt that you were off. And you're like, nah. And then, okay.
Right. No, I think that's great that you guys talk about
it,
though.
And just go for it then. And you're like, nah, it's not me. It's you. Or,
right.
you know, or like, I ate a burrito and I'm feeling a little heavy. So.
Right. And that's not that it makes it less sexy. You actually talked about it. Because
yeah.
I think what we talk about a lot on the show is how do you communicate that in the moment? Mm-hmm. Because what could happen is you could resent that he hasn't initiated or you haven't initiated exactly. and like months go by and you're like, you can't even remember why you're upset, but all you know is you're not having sex and you're both angry at each other for whatever.
And I'm eating my feelings.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. We don't want you to eat your feelings. We want your feelings to be having sex, to lead you towards sex. So and what about you?
Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of weird. I'm single now, but in my last relationship, sex was never an issue. I think we had maybe a 2-week lull, and we were together for 4 years. I think like, we had like a 2-week lull once when work was stressful and a bunch of other stuff was going on. So it was very clear why we weren't connecting
right.
intimately, and we communicated, and that was, you know, understood. So I didn't have to have that whole like,
right.
but is it me? Are you not attracted to me? Like, I didn't have any of those moments. And it's been a year that we've been broken up. And if anything, our like our sexual compatibility is only getting better, which is which I realize
is the ex, right? Because you have the time. Well,
but really, it's so weird though. It's not like a like hate sex or like any. You know how like sometimes you have kind of like or like makeup sex or you know like anger like. I'm gonna fuck you better than anyone's ever fucked
right.
you.
Right,
like,
exactly.
No one's as good as me. We don't even really do that. It's like something completely different. And it's a shame because as much as the relationship didn't work out, holy hell, I wish it could just for the sex.
Right. Well, and you could be learning from the sex then maybe now. Because you kind of, do you guys ever think about that? I was going to say that if you've been, you guys are all in your 30s, which I love, like early 30s. So how do you feel that sex has changed now in your lives, like from 30 to when you first had sex?
I think I'm more comfortable with it. I think from being, from like when you first start having sex to your 20s to your 30s, you become more comfortable not only with sex and talking about it, but also with your body and being like, you know what? Nah, it is what it is. Like, and accepting it, and actually it becomes sexier when you accept your flaws and you become more confident. When you become more confident in sex, you are better at it.
So true. I mean, and confidence
so,
is the
so sexiest. I think a lot of people, not just women, I think people in general don't really become confident in themselves until they hit their late 20s to 30s. You could be confident in quotes at 24, but you're not really that as confident as you are in your 30s. And right. I think that makes a big difference.
I think that's a good point, Sarah. You're right. I know. I agree with you, because some people think, yeah, they're 20s, but you haven't had enough life experience. You probably haven't had enough partners and experience and communicating. So
for me, it's Mary. This is pretty embarrassing. But, but I had sex for the first time when I was 17, and I was like considered in my group of friends a late bloomer.
How old were you? You were 17?
I was 17. Okay. So I was a senior in high school.
I feel like that's normal. You're okay.
It's kind of normal, but it's so funny. That to you as so normal. Many.
Don't feel ashamed about that.
Thank
one.
You.
Okay.
Thank you. Well, no, it gets. This is that. That wasn't. That wasn't. <ever. laughs> I didn't.
I love women. We're all like comforting. It's fine. It's fine. She's like, just wait.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
I didn't masturbate for the first time until I was 24.
I will fully admit that I
was
don't.
21.
Really?
Yeah. 21. Yeah. That's why I'm here. I'm like making up for it ever since. No, that's fine. I mean, I think that a lot of women can relate to that.
Yeah. I it's not like I was grossed out by my body or anything. I more so was just kind of like, I can't be bothered. Why would I masturbate if I could just have sex?
Right.
You know, like in my mind, I was like, why would I do that? I can have sex with a real life penis.
Right. Exactly. Right.
And then little did I know, I'm the best I've ever had.
Exactly. You marry. I get it. So you knew about masturbation. You just didn't see. I didn't even know about it.
Oh, really?
I was having sex and not having, I've told this, or having orgasms, and my friends were finally like, what do you mean? Like, because I'm like, sex is you guys, like, what's the whole thing? And I grew up like in a liberal, I wasn't like, you know, liberal home, and they were like, we're not masturbation. So I actually never even occurred to me to touch my body. So you actually knew it was an option. So my question for you then is, you are the best you ever have, I'm sure. That's a thing, you guys. Sex is masturbation. Sex with someone you love. Mm-hmm. We have to all love ourselves. Do you easily have orgasms?
Yes.
Okay.
Like within a minute. Like if I'm like ready, like if I like have a mission, I can.
During masturbation, what about during sex? Intercourse.
Sex takes like a little bit longer than that.
Okay.
But not much. It's a total, obviously, we're like a giant, what is that? Like we're like a huge control board.
Like women are. No, it's true. We're like the Rubik's Cube of life. Like, how do they figure out how we all work?
It can be really fast if I'm, you know, not thinking about anything else and I'm just right there. But if my mind wanders at all, it could take, it still will happen.
That to-do list.
It just takes a little bit, you know, a little roundabout.
That to-do list. Trash out.
Exactly. That literally happens all the time. I think a lot of women do talk about the fact that they don't have the orgasm during sex because they are distracted. Mm-hmm. So you stay in the moment. That's great. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what about both of you? What's your orgasm style? Is it during, can you have orgasms during
intercourse? I can have multiple, and I'm really fast.
Fast and plentiful. That's amazing. Plentiful.
Yeah. So I can have, and I think it's because, and this is something I actually just recently discovered with my boyfriend now. Before, my ex, is what it was. I'm not going to shame
But you were
him.
With someone, but can I just say that you did share something with me, which I think is really interesting, that you were with someone for a long time before your ex now. And so you didn't, so now in your 30s, you learned a lot.
I became more comfortable with myself and the idea of sex. And I think also one, my partner has made me very comfortable with myself. And so that makes a big difference. But
how did he do, I want you to go, but how did he make you more comfortable?
I think appreciating my flaws, or what I consider flaws.
What you perceive as your flaws.
What I perceive as my flaws. By appreciating them and really focusing on them and bringing them to light, that like he really appreciates them and he loves them and he likes them. And that's what makes me unique, and being in love with my body, you know, not just saying it, but physically the way he looks at me. I think that made a big difference in all of it. When we first started dating and having sex, I couldn't get off from the bottom. only from the top, okay. which is obviously I'm controlling the situation. Right. And as we've been having sex more and more and over the years, now I can get off from the bottom. So we kind of practice made perfect.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's true. They, you know, in long-term yeah. relationships, that is one of the benefits. Yeah. You know, yeah, obviously with your ex for a long
time. It's a goal for him. It was like a real goal for him. Like, I'm going to get you off from the bottom.
See, that's such a great, that's a great point, because I feel like a lot of partners, you know, people, you know, who I talk to, they think it's their own, and a lot of times it is our own job. We got to like mm-hmm. masturbate and figure out our bodies. But when you have a partner who's like, I'm in it with you, like, let's figure yeah. out your, where your G-spot is, or how yeah. you can orgasm, you know, how you can orgasm in different positions. I love that. I love yeah. that support. Yeah. Let's do it together.
Yeah. It's team effort.
Exactly. Well, that's
a turn on right there.
Right? It yeah. is.
Like, that. Yeah, he cares more. And like, he won't orgasm unless I do first.
Yeah.
Such a gentleman. Such a gentleman.
I know. You said you waited all day.
I know.
Did he have to practice that? Do you think, I mean, men can kind of play with ejaculatory control.
I think he's older, so he's had practice with it, I'm assuming. We don't really talk about our past experience.
It's super healthy. Too much. I don't think you need to.
Yeah. It's one of those
unless
things
like... Unless you have like an STD or like whatever. Yeah. Like, some partners get off on it and they really want to hear, but yeah. I tread... Yeah, lightly yeah. on that topic.
I mean, please tell me if you have an STD or a child, and that's then that's it. That's exactly. all I really know about your your past sex
I
life.
I totally am down with yeah. that. It's such a good. That's great. Okay,
so that's our the orgasm question.
Was that my question? I know there's so much. Oh, yeah, like orgasm during intercourse, or how do you orgasm?
I have them frequently and easily. Actually,
okay, you guys are rare. I just tell you, my audience is gonna be like, I know. I did not even know all these women here like what their history was, but this is rare.
Yeah.
That means it's 30, right? 30% of women, maybe less, have it during intercourse.
Oh, yeah. It's, I mean, it's something so you guys crazy. Like, even I was thinking, I was like, this, because as it's going around the table, like, I was like, oh, this is going to sound like,
Stephanie, please say that you can't. Please say that you can't. No, kidding.
But I don't consider them all equal.
Right. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about different kinds of orgasms.
The same. I consider them kind of like earthquakes, like where I'm like, that's a little tremor, and that was nice. But then the more that those kind of build up, and I'm like, it's the big one. And so, you know, and then there's aftershocks. So it's like...
During, while you're having sex, you mean?
Yeah. So like I can have, you know, like where it's like a couple of little ones just kind of get things going. And then though, but then there's like that explosive sort of like, oh my God. And that, I'm like, no, we have to get to there. So I'm not always, like, I'm satisfied, but not in the same way where mm-hmm. I'm like, come on, we can do better than right. this. Like, let's go there.
Yeah, and then, I totally agree with you.
Have you and then coming yeah. down, you can have a few or one or not. Like,
it's so just how did you so you're talking about, like, do you guys know what kind of orgasms you're having, like G-spot or clitoral
yeah.
or
yeah.
you do?
Or have you ever okay. had the ones where, like, you get there and then all of a sudden it disappears. It's almost like you just went yes, under it yes. and you're, like, done. And you're like... Fuck.
Yeah, disappearing yeah. orgasm.
Yeah.
Can you get it? You get it back though sometimes, but.
Sometimes, but then it's almost like you have to start all over again. Right. And sometimes my it's energy worst. At that point, you're
no,
like,
I know. Ugh. You're like, I was so close. Where'd like, you go, little O?
Okay, just gonna pour a glass of wine.
Right, exactly. You know? Let's talk about just the experience of having an orgasm. Like, I think that's so. I would just love to hear from all of you. Like, Stephanie, you were just saying your process of when you're having sex. You know, you're with a partner and you've mm-hmm. been together a while. And, you know, we're going to get back to that in a minute. We're going to take because I love that. I love that we're going to get into how we all feel when we orgasm. But first, I want to give a shout out to our sponsors. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for supporting them. You know that I never, ever talk about a product or a service that I've not used myself, that I've not tried, and that is amazing. So thank you for supporting them. Helps keep the show free. And I'll be right back talking orgasms. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. I love this because I want to hear about that because we're all different. I always tell, you know, I can't emphasize enough that, you know, women are like snowflakes and we all orgasm differently. And I understand for men or for your partners are so confused by like each partner. I got to learn something new. Yeah, you do. But you got to pay attention. Hopefully you're with a partner who can help you explain what she needs or you learn together. So let's talk about your process. You said, like, do you require a lot of foreplay? Like, what's the ideal? How about this? What's your ideal sexual scenario?
Well, it would definitely start, like, Stephanie. In the morning.
In the morning, okay. Yeah.
So I'm a big believer in foreplay, and I actually feel like the best time to start foreplay is right after you had sex and then until the next time. So it should be, not should, but, oh my God.
I have a quote on the wall that says foreplay starts after the last orgasm. Yeah, how about I love that? It. There you go.
Yeah, so just that it's like, it's that tension and kind of the ongoing availability. And I feel like that can be what makes it easier maybe to have an orgasm so that, you know, it's already, it's like the foreplay's built in. So, you know, starting with it, I really am a big fan of morning sex. Like, mm-hmm. I just think it's good and healthy and like a, just something that people consider that.
It's like green juice.
Yeah. Right. It's like a pressed juice for your body.
Oh my God, you guys.
But then, yeah, throughout the day and I'm like...
Okay, but what about... Okay, but let's talk about you. Then let's cut to like you guys having sex when you said that there's this buildup. And then you're on top, or I don't know where you are, but you're having through your body, and then let's wait for the next one. Like, let's.
Well, so I'll say it this way, too, since I've been with my boyfriend for 4 years now. Like, we have a definite rhythm. And so I tease, like, if you've never had vanilla, it's delicious, like, especially once you get into it. So starting with, like, oral always makes a big difference, and that's
you,
why we've been together for 4 years.
Like, because like, he goes down on you.
And it's amazing. Yeah. That's our thing.
So he goes. So he's good at it. He goes. Are you probably? I mean, was he great the first time, or you probably had to guide
yeah,
him?
Yeah, and we pretty much just had sex for like, I think a week straight, and that's how we were writing and having sex, and then we've been together since then.
Oh my God, I love it. Okay, yeah. so he goes down on you typically for how long?
I come pretty easily, so I would say like 5 to 7 minutes okay. within there.
Also rare. Great. You guys yeah. are all like just bashing everything. Okay, right? No, but that's great. So he goes down on you. You have an orgasm. You knock one out, maybe. Or he just turned you on. Oh, no, he gets you started.
I do usually. Yeah, so okay. like if I start with him and then, you know, like starting with a blowjob or something to that effect, then he usually like turns it around. I'm kind of spoiled. And then after I've had like one or two from oral, then we have
okay.
sex. And then from that point, it doesn't really matter if it's like a quickie or if it's like then like let's see what kind of like let's, you know, use the whole surface of the bed in every right. way we can. Then it doesn't seem to matter to me as much because I'm will then usually have a really big orgasm and then
and then that
maybe,
builds from
then,
like your from your G spot. Are you on? I'm just trying to like are you positions? Are you on top? Are you on bottom? Is it different?
I actually can. So G spot orgasms are kind of what I consider to be like that big one. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not. I don't like ejaculate every time right. or anything, but when I do, it's great.
You do ejaculate.
I have.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a good time.
Yeah. I was like, it's, yeah. And it depends on the position. And I tease that, like, I feel like ejaculation for women is like the being vegan where it's like, we'll tell you. Right. like, we'll bring it up.
Right.
Yeah. So, G-spot orgasms are the ones that I think are.
And that's where the ejaculation happens.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like from anal, like, orgasm from the back, like, right. With how it hits the G-spot. And then depending on if there's clitoral stimulation doing that. So I guess I'm all about the blended.
The blended orgasm. Yeah, like, that is a very blended.
The ADD orgasm. Right. Where I'm like, little here, little there. Yeah. So,
right, just play with all the resources like, you have. So, anal, okay. God, yeah. That's good. Okay. Who's not getting turned on? I'm excited. Okay. Sarah, Mary, what about your orgasm style?
My style?
I don't know. Like, how does it happen for you? What's a great sex scenario?
Okay, well, I'll just explain.
Best case scenario.
The yesterday one.
Yeah, like the 12. We don't have 12 hours, although I would like to hear about all of it. Believe
it's
me.
So bad for you. Sarah. you just woke up in the morning, you know, you roll over, the dog's like in your face and you're like, ugh. And so then you roll back over the other way and there he is. You know, and then honestly, it starts out where like in the morning you kind of just roll over and cuddle. Like, oh, you're here. Hi. I missed you while I was sleeping for 8 hours, you know. And then I tend to sleep in either nothing or very minimal clothing. And I think for him that like, and obviously he wakes up with like wood because right. every guy does. So like as he's cuddling me, I literally can feel his penis on my ass.
Right.
And so then it kind of turns
the
me
dick
on,
in the back.
And right. then, yeah. Well, I kind of position myself in this like fetal that right. way, you know, it's not like actually in my spine.
Right.
And so then like, you know, he's wrapped his arms around me and then like all of a sudden his hands are my boobs. And then it just kind of, a lot of the touching happens and then you start making out and then you go into having sex. Sometimes we'll go down on each other and oral will happen. Sometimes he kind of just goes straight for it and just like takes the rest, whatever right. clothes I am wearing off.
Okay.
And is a little more dominant in that sense. And especially in the morning, he's the one who's more dominant in the morning. Sometimes we finish, sometimes we don't. It depends on what the rest of our day looks like.
Okay.
If I have to work or he has to leave, then he'll finish because he knows he's not going to see me. But if both of us are kind of home, he tends to work from home a lot. Okay. Then yeah, he might stop and then we'll be like, oh, let's go get coffee or I got to go take the dog out.
You know? And then you're continuing.
And then we stop right. and then we go do this, a few things that we need to get done at that moment. And then we come back, maybe have coffee. He'll be sitting at his computer. I'll walk up to him, like rub his shoulders, things like that. And then I just walk away.
Right. Okay.
And then he'll eventually around. Follow me. And so like that, things like that happen.
It's kind of like what Stephanie was saying about it starts after, it kind of keeps yeah. going all the time. Like how do you so keep that pilot light going all day long?
So,
you know, even how, after, which is important, I think, yeah, for even if to
I,
keep it.
I after I orgasm, let's say in one of the sessions, we kind of still go. And so what happens is sometimes after you orgasm, you're kind of like, oh, I'm satisfied. Like, I'm good. I can relax. But if you keep going, it kind of starts the engine over again.
Yeah.
And so then that's when he'll stop me. So that way my engine is started, but I'm not to a point where like I'm about to like, you know, drive right. up a bridge or something. Right. Like, so now I'm back in the game and I want to tease and I want to be playful. You know, so then later on he can come back again. And then, so
wow,
we just
guys
make rounds.
Keep this going the whole day.
Yeah. And sometimes it gets really exhausting. And I will admit there have been times where my vagina is raw and I'm like, I'm right. done. You right. need to come.
Exactly. Right. You never come. That's yeah. so then, and for you, it's like more of a blended, you were saying, when you have orgasms, or is it clitoral, G-spot?
It's both. Know? Sometimes, and sometimes you get like the clitoral ones that you're kind of, like she said, they're the, like the little trembles.
Right.
And they're still good. They're still fine.
They're fine.
But they're not the finale. So you're like, oh, I can keep going. Mm-hmm. I can keep going. I can keep going. And keep going, and then you hit the finale. You're like, oh, let me just take that five.
Right.
Like,
right, exactly.
Let me just breathe. This
and
one
this
out.
Wasn't this. And this wasn't the case in your last in your 20s.
No, in my 20s, I was with somebody for a really long time, and we just kind of become friends. Part of it was our work schedules were a complete opposite.
Yeah, he couldn't stay home all day and have
and
sex.
And it was really yeah, that was part of the problem. Right. And then instead of spending time with me, he'd rather spend time with his friends. We didn't have that connection, but we were young and
right.
not
aware. No, I get
aware.
It, though. I think this is a good message to a lot of people listening who assume, I think that we put ourselves in our own box and we think, God, I can never orgasm that way, or this can never happen, or it's not possible for me, especially in our 20s when sex, we're still figuring it out. So to see that, like, it's aspirational.
Yeah. And people are always like, oh, you know, like, I need a guy with the big dick. Well, to be honest, like, it's not, people always say size matters. No, it's literally the size that matters in my vagina.
Right.
Because if my vagina is too small for your big dick, that's not going to work
right.
out.
Exactly.
And that was actually a huge problem I had with my ex, was like, I don't want to have sex with that.
It was too big, right?
It was like, so I couldn't be on top because gravity wise, like if I'm sitting completely on it, it was like in my belly button and not like, it was uncomfortable.
Right.
It wasn't.
Wow. Ouch. I love that you're saying this because people, men, obviously, you know, it's like their biggest concern is like, I'm not big enough. And I'm telling you, I said in my 12 years I've been doing this, I've heard from more women who say it was too big and painful than his penis was too small. Not that we haven't had both, or had that scenario maybe, but we're not as obsessed about your penis as you are.
Yeah.
Figure out how to move around, right?
Did I?
Okay. Oh. So yeah, Mary, okay, you're all up with orgasms. You're up. I don't know. Like you're describing like a great scenario. Like when you had great ex sex the other day.
Yeah. With my ex, it's like we know each other's bodies so well, and we're also spontaneous sexers.
That's
like
huge we, for arousal.
It's like, you know, mid-afternoon weird scenario quickies where we're like sneaking away and just having a quick little sesh. So as much as foreplay is awesome, it'll be like a really quick version of foreplay. Listening to everybody's stories made me think of different moments in my 20s when I was single. And, oh, I'm single now, but I had a lot more sex while I was single in my 20s before the internet. But But, well, you know, apps and all that. Right, anyway, right. When you would just like meet someone in a bar and right. take them home.
Right.
I lived in New York for 12 years.
Oh,
so,
God, that's
so
all you
in
do
New
there.
York City, it was
That's like
transient.
Your second job.
I was the best.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, I have so many stories of not horrible sex, but just like boring sex because someone would just want to rip my clothes off and start going at it right away.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd be like, you ruined it. I don't care how hot you are or like how beautiful your penis is. You ruined it.
Right.
But, you know, I think one of the most magical situations is when someone, whether you've known them forever or you just met, when they worship your body, when like mm-hmm. your body is a playground and you can, yeah. And you can kind of see the excitement, you right. know, and it's being acted out and played out in front of you. And you're just like, yes, we're playing, we're vibing. Like,
right.
It's so much more, it's intimate. And that's why intimate sex exactly. with a partner, like a consistent partner is so much more exciting than, you know, random, like getting mm-hmm. to know you sex. Yeah. But there's the diamonds
getting
in the rough.
You, like going like jackhammer sex. Yeah.
But then there's the diamonds in the rough.
Your body gesture.
I wish you guys could see this. Well, we will have some videos online and pictures. These are beautiful, smart, intelligent women. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it's just like I can think of certain lovers that I've had that are just like just blew my mind because I was like, yes, you love like it's so clear that you love women. Like exactly. you love our bodies so much.
See, okay. Mary, what you're saying there is this is what I'm trying to say a lot to listeners and to explain to men who I think don't quite get that yet is that it is about that worshiping or like that you see, we want to be seen. You know, we want to yeah. feel like you are looking at my breasts and you're like, when we're having sex, you're undressing me for the first time, like it's a present, like you've never seen this before and you're into it and you're not faking it. Maybe you have to fake it till you make it. That's fine. As long as I don't know, you can fake it. I mean, some guys are like, I don't get it. Like, I just want to stick it in. And I've had so many of those scenarios where it's just the biggest buzzkill. And I think that's most of guys' go-to move. And I can tell there's like this moment, like what's a good analogy? Like when you just know someone's like on your page, you're just like, oh, like they're looking at you and they're like going down on you. They're like, wow, it's so beautiful. Like your pussy is so great. I love it. And they're like yeah. into it and they yeah. see you or like, and they're taking their time
yeah.
and they're worshiping your body. And it mm-hmm. feels just it's the way to be, guys.
Yeah. And it's not necessarily in what you say, you know,
you have
it's
to say
more.
It.
No, you don't. Like
it's
you,
the
you
look
can
in
literally
their eyes.
Say nothing.
Yeah. Right. It's yeah. exactly. It's curious. It's like they're unwrapping like this present and they're just like exploring. Men like to explore and they like new things. I think they like adventure. If men could just look at each woman's bodies that they're with kind of like that, like what, how does this thing work? And like, it's really beautiful. Every woman's body presents you with a new situation, a new scenario that you can like, you know, slowly unpack. And my heart goes out to men too, because there's so much pressure for them to initiate. I think women, a lot of women do assume that guys, they know all the answers to our bodies. They're going to figure it out. And then they get nervous and have fear. And then they just go back and do the jackhammer, their go-to move. So I think that when men can just learn to like slow down in the moment, it won't be that hard. You've got a beautiful body in front of you. Like, mm-hmm. figure it out. Right?
I think men have just as much pressure as women do to be good at it.
Yes.
And they're like, oh, what if she doesn't like my penis? What if it's not big enough?
Right.
What if it's too big? What, you know, like, I think guys are just as insecure about sex as girls are. And I think that women need to remember that and not put so much pressure on them to be so good or amazing. I think we need to equally be as sensitive to them.
Right. Mary, you were saying you're with those guys. You're like, why did you ruin it? And I've had more of those. And I'm telling you, it doesn't end in your 20s, unfortunately. But how do you then guide your partners? Have you been in a scenario or can you just explain to you what you've done when you're like, that's not quite working and how a scenario has actually changed or how you give feedback to a partner? You know, like, have you ever been in a case where like, this is doomed? And then you're like, oh, wait, I actually can work this through.
I think part of it is just taking over, you know, just being a little dominant and almost like being slightly, it feels selfish, but also it's very generous to be able to just say, you know what, I'm gonna, you just go ahead and like take a little break for a moment and let me take over and I'll show you what I like,
right.
you know?
And then you like, yeah, then you take their hands or climb on top. And guys, you guys, this is a gift for men. Like, yeah. relax, they're helping you. That's good. Mm-hmm. Good, love it.
I mean, obviously, communication's a big part of it as well. I think women being confident enough to take over is also a big thing. Because I don't think a lot of women are. I think they feel that men should be the dominant ones in sex, in that role play in the bedroom and life or whatever. So they're so used to being more submissive in that role. So a lot of women don't take over to make sure guys know how to pleasure them. Whereas mm-hmm. I think if you feel confident enough or communicate enough with your partner, you can become confident to be like, actually, I'm going to step up to the plate and show you this is not comfortable and this is or whatever. So I think that also comes with age as well.
It does. Yeah.
Well, I would actually say on this one, like thinking more to like when I was in my 20s and at the various times. So looking at it as like a broad spectrum, I'm like, of all the men.
right, exactly.
But I would say that like I, regardless of, I guess, the length of time of the relationship or like if it was something that could have been just like a hookup situation, I typically find myself in sexual situations with people that I feel really comfortable with. And so it's like the point of my personality isn't filtered. So if I'm like, whoa, like hold up, like that's too fast. Or, you know, like, oh, I don't like that. Can you do this instead? Or just like physically moving around. So I feel like that can actually make a big difference. So even if it's somebody that you just met, if you just are like vibing with them and you feel kind of like, oh, I just like could totally worship this person right. for the night and accept it. And then those, you know, if it doesn't go quite as like you think it's going to because mm-hmm. you're like, oh, I was so turned on, but actually I don't know this person. Then usually if you're able to just like stay being yourself, like so however it comes out versus like, I really prefer it when it's like this or like having like a Cosmo scripted. Like
exactly. Oh, you don't have to script it.
Yeah. Like just be yourself even when you're having sex.
Ask for what you want. And if you don't, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Ask for what you want in the moment. Because like I say, like life's too short for bad sex. And I think mm-hmm. of myself back in my 20s when I'd be with partners and they would say, so how is this? Is, you know, how do you feel? Do you like this? I'm like, it's good. I was like, what else do you want? I'm like, nothing. Like, it's perfect. Because I didn't know. And I think like early 20s. And I was like, I didn't know an alternative, but I knew it wasn't great. And then there also might have been this like, I don't know. So I think if you're in that scenario, it's not like you just have to like go through your 20s and having bad sex. And I'm not saying mm-hmm. that every woman is like this. But this is would be a great time to be like, I'm not really sure, but let's figure it out together. Like I had a boyfriend when I hadn't found my G-spot yet. In my 20s that we like worked on it. Like I went to Good Vibrations mm-hmm. and I got a vibrator and I, you know, Good Vibrations is a great store. But I was like, oh yeah, this is how we do it. It was like a mission that we, together, we found it, we did it. I used to think that like men, when they were born, they somehow at some point went away to some secret school where they got all the answers to like women's bodies and how I worked and someone gave them the owner's manual and like I didn't get it. So you must know, you know, and giving them a lot of credit for that.
They kind of did because they had like the Playboys and, you know, like a lot of the porn for a long time right. was yeah. geared more towards men. And so I do think that guys get a little bit more visual exposure to like sex actually happening than girls do, especially at those younger ages. So I think sometimes it can just feel like
they should know.
They should know, but they don't. But each
one's different. They don't, and you shouldn't always like base what you're doing off of
a porn. That's a great topic. Yeah. You should get into porn in a minute. Okay, we're going to get into porn. We had to say goodbye to Mary. She is awesome. So now I've got Sarah and Stephanie here. So tell me your thoughts about porn. Do you engage?
I'm a big fan of the porn GIFs. I'll make a plug for Her Eyes Only. I think it's on Tumblr. I have no affiliation. Okay. But I like those little, like, just that kind of...
The image.
Yeah, it's like it's enough to be erotic to me, but it's not so long that I start, like, wondering, like, about other things that are maybe going on in the set production or, you know, like, I'm like, the lighting's really bad. But, because, like, sometimes... Like, I had a porn phase, and it was like, it's for research. And then I was like, oh, I love it. And then... Like, it'll just be a thing for a little while, but the GIFs, I think, like, sending those back and forth, especially, like, if it's kind of high art, like, it's a little mm-hmm. black and white, and somebody's getting, like, a tuchus lingus, and that just pops up on my phone.
A tuchus lingus, like anal licking?
Yeah.
Tuchus lingus.
Like, tuchus lingus. Yeah.
I was like, I don't like saying tossed salad.
But tuchus, I mean, yeah, that's like Yiddish.
Yeah.
It is. Do you know that?
Well, I didn't know that. It was in Sex and the City, and they said, like, tuchus lingus, Latin, for not without an engagement ring.
That is so funny. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I believe it's Yiddish. I grew up. That's the best thing ever. Wait, so you look, I think so, but you look at the, so the images, and then you're kind of like.
Yeah, just find them arousing.
Yeah, they are arousing. And my friend has a site, Lady Cheeky, too, which is also great.
I would check that out.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I don't watch porn.
Darling Sarah, you don't?
No. In fact, how she said she pays attention to the lighting and things like that. I think I watch it and I'm like, yeah, those heels are just in the way. Like right. the whole the storyline is not realistic to me or like, I don't know. And so I think I overanalyze it instead of just watching the act itself. I'm like, nah.
Well, you guys are too busy having sex all day, so there's no time to turn on the TV. Let's be honest. Okay, so you guys, let's talk about your sexual bucket list. Like, is there anything that you've been wanting to try?
I think I want to peg someone.
You want to peg someone?
Yeah. I say someone because I think that my boyfriend, like, if I was like, I want to peg you, he'd be like, I don't like you.
Because men are really intimidated. Straight men are intimidated.
Yeah, like sometimes teasingly and sometimes like, well, if there's ever anything weird that you're afraid to ask, Like, if you're afraid to ask me to peg you, you can just ask now. I'm in, I'm
in. No. So I live by the theory that you try everything at least once or twice. Once to try it, second time to make sure you don't like it.
Right. I love it.
And yeah, it's been my theory about anal my entire life. And every time I try it, I'm like, no, I don't like this. Or every time I try it, I'm like, oh, let me try it. I'll try it again. So I continually try it, even though in my mind I've told myself no, but I continually try it. But either way, I think that, yeah, so that's something you could say to him, like, you know, live on the edge.
Try it at least once.
Well, and I also think it might be something where I just like the fantasy of it versus, like, you know. But
how about finger in the butt? Do you ever play with his anus at all?
No, but mine is like,
yeah, you
all the time.
Right. He plays with you all the time.
Yeah.
Because you have like orgasms through anal.
Yeah.
And all that.
Well, then you should even trade.
Like the anal girl.
Yeah, I didn't know you're the anal girl. But can you just come back and be the anal girl on the show? Because, like, we've got lots of questions.
I feel like a lot of my, like, some of the articles, like, and there was, I did masturbation one, actually, for another Unbound. And so, yeah, and then just this one that went up yesterday, I think, is like... Everything
Stephanie
but.
Writes. Stephanie writes on our site, so you check out her articles as well on our website, our blog. She's written amazing blogs. Stephanie's, they're all going to be like stalking you now, but that's cool. As we would like you to stalk us on our website. She's an amazing writer and talented around sexual exploits and open.
Thank you.
So anal.
But you're going to be like, and the anal girl.
And the anal girl. And the anal girl. Can we just say she's
like, I feel like you should be like, you know, what you do to me, I should be able to do to you. So it's even and fair in the game of love and war and sex.
Right.
So
I should also say I'm not like a giver by nature.
And
like,
I'll be gentle.
Yeah. Okay. I like that. I'll be gentle.
I just think a lot of men are afraid of it and they're missing out. Like, I feel like if they had a better excuse rather than like, it's going to make me gay or only, you know, men like, are like, I don't think there's any sensations there. It's just, it's dirty. I think that's not a good excuse because I feel like we have enough evidence, we have enough research to show that a lot of men derive pleasure from it.
And it could be
your next level orgasm and you don't know, why not try it?
And it's good for them to prevent like any kind of like prostate cancer. True. Like that actually is a thing. Yeah,
I think that they actually get more pleasure out of it than women would.
Than anal from anal?
Anal. And so it's like, why
unless
wouldn't you
Stephanie.
Want... Yeah, unless you're Stephanie. But you'd want to like, you know, why wouldn't you want to increase your orgasm? Like,
right.
If someone said, hey, there's a magic button. Well, obviously there's a magic button, but a better magic button or like a button plus a lever.
Right.
If you, you know, push one and pull at the same time to make it better, why wouldn't you do that?
Would you want to peg someone?
I have.
You've pegged. Ooh, okay.
Yes, I have.
Let's talk about that. Cool. Pegging. Does everyone know what pegging is? I'm wondering, does everyone know, my listeners? Not you guys. you can tell us about what you use. Like, did you use, so for people that use, the woman would strap on a dildo and she would be wearing it like she's has a penis, like a man, and she would penetrate. Mm-hmm. Like he would, however you would do it, he would bend over. He would be lying on the bed.
So I've done it in many different positions.
Oh my God. Who knew? So, I know, right? The silent pegger. I did not know this. It was like incognito pegger.
It actually wasn't my idea. It was his. It was a guy that I was dating in between my ex and the man I'm with now. He, backstory, is a really good chef. so he convinced me to start sleeping with him by cooking. It was really good pizza. And so a month into it, he decides like, hey, let's get, you know, creative. And I'm like, okay. You know, and at this point, I'm like 28. I'm single, newly single, really skinny. So, you know, I'm feeling really good about myself. My hair was on point, like just everything. So I was like, let's experiment. Let's do things. And so he brings up the idea of pegging. And I was like, okay. And I was actually, in the beginning, I was very indifferent to it. I was very much like, I've never done it, never thought about doing it. So I don't know. And I'm that person, and you try everything once or twice.
Right.
So I was like, hey, try everything once or twice. So I'm gonna try this. It was fun. He enjoyed it more than I did. And I have to say the reason why is because I didn't derive any physical pleasure from it. So he's getting a sensation or pleasure from it, but I'm not. So unless you have a part that's inserted in you during it.
Which they do have the double-headed
dildos.
I think Sport Cheats makes one that's double-headed, and they also make one with a vibrator.
Yeah.
So it's a harness you wear a harness, and it's got a vibrator, so it's touching your clitoris while you're penetrating him anally.
Also,
what were you going to say, Stephanie?
Do you know if the Dame is good for like an insert inside of any harness? Like the little hands-free?
I don't know.
Okay. Or a Wee Vibe?
A Wee Vibe. You could use a little clitoral vibrator. Yeah. Next time.
We're hooking
you up today. Okay. Yeah. So you didn't get a lot of pleasure.
I didn't get a lot of pleasure from it. But the funny thing is, too, is that the motion that women make in sex with your hips for pleasure for yourself is completely different from the motion a man makes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're pegging somebody, you obviously, the listeners can't see my hands. There's that slap. Guys go in and out.
Mm-hmm.
whereas girls kind of go back and forth. So you're, for women, we're like back and forth. But for a guy, you're like, no, all you're doing is like, if this is his hole and this is your, you're doing this to him, not this. So you have to learn how to go front and backwards.
Right.
Which is a completely different motion. Which,
that's what I've heard from a lot of women, that you got to like.
So then you're like, okay. Like, yeah. It's a weird like.
It's that thrusting.
Yeah. It's a weird like twerk move going on you're doing. So it's kind of awkward in that sense. And then you realize how much core men use during sex.
Yeah.
Because you're like, ooh, I'm sweating. Hold on. Ooh.
Right,
like,
men, it is a lot of core.
Yeah. So then it's not natural. I've tried it where bent over and turned him over. And this man was like 6'4", so wow. He wasn't the tiniest of people either. So I had him on the edge of the bed, and then he was facing me. So one point I was doing it, but I also like played with his penis at the same time. Wow. So it created that stimulation.
And he must have, what?
He was, it really got him. He said actually what it did was it got him so aroused, but his body was confused. Oh. Like he was like,
too much.
Like, so his body, his whole entire body got really overstimulated. Right. And so at that point, you know, after that, then we stopped and then we went back into having like just your plain old vanilla sex and things like that. So it was a fun experience. We did it more than once because, you know, I try everything once or twice.
Yes.
I have a feeling that's something that he probably will continue in his life because he got that pleasure and he got that sense of it. For me, unless my partner wanted it, I don't think I would do it again, but because I would have to find a way to make it pleasurable, physically pleasurable for myself.
Right, just get, yeah. Put a little vibrator so there.
That's the thing, you know? And so I think that's the difference is, yeah, if my boyfriend now was like, sure, I'm up for it, you know?
Okay.
He's probably listening right now. He's probably like, no.
So here's, so like, I'll be gentle. So have you guys ever had a guy ask you to do something that you didn't want to do, and how did you handle it? Or is there anything that you're like, nope, I'm off limits. That will never happen.
There's been stuff where like, no, there's stuff actually that I would say is not like the particular sexual act that I'm like, that's a no. But there have been times where certain things I'm like not up for at that like, moment.
Just at that moment maybe.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of an example, but I'm like, I feel like I've said no to something.
I love these women because it's like, no, we're open. I'm like you though. Try everything once. Or twice. Yeah. I feel the same exact way. Like, why not? Like, life's too short. What if it is the most amazing thing ever?
I do have to say one thing during sex that I always say no to is that, like, if you're going to come, please don't get it in my hair. Like that's a tipping point for me. I get angry. I'm like, I got to wash my hair or, like, you know, it becomes the whole routine.
It's true. You can let them know that. Ejaculation etiquette.
So, So, like, if you're going to bust, like, and you want to, like, make a scene with it, make a scene, like, from the shoulders down.
Right. He's like, no, that's Jackson good. Pollock. That's fair. Jackson Pollock. Exactly. Dry on your stomach. That's fine. Not the hair.
Yeah. Or the eyes.
Don't touch the hair. Or the eyes. I've had it.
That's why
eye.
I wear safety goggles.
You do. You never just know. Kidding. Right.
I might. Now I will.
It's actually, that could be kind of hot. Like a little.
Yeah. Like a tool belt.
Yeah, like, kind of into it.
Role play now.
I want like a sexual tool belt where I have all my toys and tool belt around my waist. Of. That'd be really
how
happy.
Like, not
like,
one?
Pachoo, like here's the, you know, the weave I've touched. Pachoo, here's the tango.
It's like six shooters.
I know. I'd love that. Yeah. Okay. Is there, you guys, this is amazing. How about anything on your bucket list that you're like, oh, I really want to get down and do that?
Something that I really don't know. What's something I want to try? I don't know, actually. At this point, I need someone to, like, give me something else to be like, have you tried this? No, I will. Have you tried, like, I kind of have lost, not necessarily creativity, but, like, at a point where I'm like, I don't know where else to
have
go.
Have you used toys before?
Yes.
Okay.
What about
so,
orgasms?
Oh, I know something I tried. It was on my bucket list. I tried was the, what are they called? The balls. The
Kegels. Oh, the Kegel balls.
Yeah. So I bought those and was like, I'm going to play with these, see what happens. Two things happened. One, I was like, okay. Meh. And the other thing happened is I realized this is going to sound really conceited about my vagina. It's so tight that I didn't feel them. I wasn't like holding on to them. Right. They were literally just in there.
Oh, right.
Because my vagina is so tight. And I have had my gynecologist told me that I have an abnormally small cervix.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, that's probably what's going on right now.
That's why the big penis too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So the balls themselves kind of didn't. I was like, meh.
They're not. Yeah. A lot of them are not. It depends which ones they are, but they're not necessary for arousal, but they're for building like your pelvic floor muscles.
So I was trying to do that. And right. I was like, oh, and I was like, oh, I guess my.
Right.
I guess my vagina's good.
Right. My vagina. Well, speaking of Kegels, I love them because my vagina's really big. No. I have balls bounce and they fall out wherever I go. It's such a nuisance. No, but what I love is the, I don't know, Stephanie, you're in this world, but the intensity by Pour Moi, which is the Kegel, they use electrostimulation to stimulate your Kegel muscles, but you don't have to wear the balls. I think for women of any age, everything's going to drop over time and it atrophies. And like you could sneeze and pee, or, you know, you could have stronger orgasms for some women. And so I use it's the intensity, and it's by Promwatson. I haven't talked about this in a while, but it's been this amazing thing this year that I guess it was like my resolution this year. But I use it several times a week for like 8 minutes at a time, and it looks like a rabbit vibrator. It actually is a rabbit vibe. And you put it inside you, it has electrostimulation, and you pump it up, and it just kind of like you lay back. It's kind of meditative, and you don't even have to do your Kegel exercise. It does it for you while you're lying back in your bed, like reading a magazine.
Oh, it's like one of those things you used to put on your abs that used to like make you crunches for you.
Exactly. It's kind of like if you could like eat pizza or something, someone's just like, I'm running on the treadmill for you. And you literally lay back, and I feel like, I mean, I like wearing the ball sometimes too, but for me, it was like this miracle. Like, why can't everything else in life just happen when you're lying there? And then it's a rabbit vibe. It's really
so
cool.
You can have like clitoral stimulation while it's going.
Exactly. Fantastic. It's amazing, and it fits every vagina. You pump it up to, you can actually fit your vagina, and there's all these different ways to use it. It's amazing. Anyway, I got excited.
And I love it. It's pour moi, right?
Pour moi.
For me.
Pour moi. For me. I know exactly. Je parle français. Un petit peu. Okay, bucket list. Girlfriend.
Well, I was thinking of the pegging thing, but more realistically, I would say, I'm curious about going to like getting into like a tantra thing together. Yeah. You know, like having sort of this like, let's get spiritual in the bedroom sort of thing. Like, I don't know how I'd feel about going on a retreat, but some of those things, like staring into your partner's eyes for a minute, like I feel like, just knowing what I know about the sex industry and like how the body works, that it's inevitable that a lot of that stuff would be so beneficial. And then especially like on a beach. And so I think that would be,
like staring into my eyes on the beach.
Yeah. Right. And so like having that specific intention of like, we're going to align our chakras and.
No, I'm with you. That's kind of my next doing like some more courses. I'm taking a course on that. Oh. Tantra, like breathing, masculine, feminine.
Yeah,
in October.
You should do a retreat.
I am.
You're going to go to one, or you're going to host one?
Oh, well, I'm going to be hosting a retreat too soon, but I'm going to first go to this one. I mean, I'm going to be doing my own kind of retreats. Everyone, pay attention; it'll be coming up soon. But I'm also going to be attending. I just love always like learning stuff. We did a great show a few weeks ago with John Wineland. Do you know John?
I do a little bit. I know about like kind of that spiritual warrior and like the masculine.
Way of the superior man. Way of the superior data. He was amazing, you guys. People really love the show. It came out a few weeks ago. But he talks a lot about the masculine feminine energy and how really like, you know, the different polarities between keeping attraction and all that stuff. Like, so it's interesting. I think that's one of my bucket lists. But also, what else is my bucket list? Tantra would be cool. I feel like, I don't know. Well, we were talking about having threesomes earlier, about having two men. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of sometimes, I think, for women harder to happen. I don't think I've ever had. I'm trying to think if I've ever had two men. I don't think I have. I feel like that's memorable.
You'd have to find two men who are confident enough in themselves and their sexuality.
Right.
And I think, not that men aren't, but to bring those both into the bedroom, I think, is a unique situation. I have to actually applaud any man who is confident enough in his own sexuality and sex to do that.
Exactly.
I didn't know that I had opportunities to until it was like, after the fact, like where it was like, oh yeah, we totally thought, and I was like, you know, it's true what they say, you regret the things you don't do.
Right, exactly.
Closed mouth never
go
gets fed.
It's hilarious. Okay, you guys, we have to wrap up. I have a quick five quickie questions that I'm just going to rapid fire ask you guys. So you got to can each answer.
Okay.
We'll go back and forth. Like, I'll ask you each one. Here we go. Sexiest part of a man's body?
I would say shoulders, arms.
Okay. Stephanie?
My first thought was penis.
Oh, great. That's totally fine.
That's okay.
Okay, what's the one thing you wish you could tell your current and all future partners about your body and needs?
It's really ticklish.
It's ticklish.
Mine is like, it's literally going to be different every day. And I apologize in advance, but like,
what's going to be what your desires are?
Like just the stuff that might feel good, like something that might have been painful one day, like too rough, and like, oh no, then, you know, a couple of days later, just depending on my sensitivity level, I'm like, do it.
So like, poor man. See, this is why our heart goes out to God.
Sometimes your uterus feels a little bit lower than normal.
Yeah, and because with the cycles and
everything. With the cycles, it's very different. There's some things I can't do right before.
Sometimes I'm like, I'm pretty sure you're in my cervix.
Exactly. And you were not invited. Okay, craziest place you've gotten busy.
Oh, I can't remember the name of this place. It was in Vegas. It was a...
as long as it wasn't on a bathroom floor in Vegas. That's just...
No, I wouldn't have actually used the bathrooms in this place. Well, it was like a swingers club.
Oh, okay.
Like, do you know what it's called? The green room?
No,
green
door? But I want to. Oh, yeah, yeah, I have. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was cool, actually.
Yeah, like, you had sex with people around.
No, oh. No, just this. I'm like, just this one bartender. But he and I were very good friends after that.
So, awesome. Bartender sex in Vegas.
Yeah, he was the bartenders in Las Vegas are very nice. And they're kind of like your security blanket. Like, they can keep you safe. Like, aww. You know, because they know the places to go.
Should hang out in Vegas more. I had the other weekend nice. There by myself. Met some bartenders. I like it. Lot.
Yeah. So, but it was a different place.
I never
place.
Do
they
bartenders.
Had fake but,
you what?
They had fake ficuses, like in the place. Like it looked like a tan
ficuses.
Yeah, like I was again distracted by the ambiance.
Right, right. They had fake ficuses, and then you had sex in there, like hiding behind a ficus.
Did. Not very much, like actual sex in there, but it was like it was just a trip. It was a really
being in that place.
I was really drunk.
Well, he's bartender,
but it was fun. Yeah, like but that was a.
I like it.
I actually don't think I've had sex anywhere really creative outside of like trying in a car, but it's more of a hassle than it is anything else sometimes. So I just, I'm like, no. So yeah, I'm.
Okay. Yeah. Favorite sex position. If you had to choose one, I know it's hard. You can only do one for the rest of your life.
I'm like just going. I'm like, no, I'm just fantasizing. I'm like, I'm not even trying to answer the question. I'm just enjoying what's in my head.
Gosh, I feel like.
The rest of my life.
I don't know. I just made that a part of Nikki James. I'm like, you can only have one. You're on a desert island.
I was like, in that case, I'd have to choose on top because then I know I could get off.
Sure thing.
And I know it's pleasurable. Like, if we're saying for the rest of my life, I'm stuck in this position, I'm going to go with that one. Okay.
I don't know. The reason that it's hard is because I feel like I couldn't, like, not have doggy style. Right. But then I feel like...
Sorry.
But you're kind of like...
Yeah. Because that one always comes up. Like, no matter mm-hmm. how the sex goes, I feel
you
like...
You love the doggy style. I should give you a doggy style strap. Up. I keep, like, matching you guys up with toys. Have you tried the doggy style strap? From Sport Sheets?
No,
it's like, it makes the position more intense.
Like, with the pulling up underneath the hips?
We're going to get... I want to give you one of those. Anyway, because you love doggy style.
Yeah. So, but also I like missionary too. Like
yeah.
Just with, and like I with like ankles up kind of a thing.
Ankles up to get more deeper penetration.
Yeah. So like a high V missionary.
Yeah. High V. I love it. Okay. You guys, thank you so much. Is there any questions you have for me? Any final words?
What would be your one position on a desert island?
My one position on a desert island. That's
your
question. I know. I would say, does like me lying back and getting receiving oral kind of this position?
I was just
relaxing.
That actually after
receiving,
I changed my answer.
I didn't know that was an option.
It wasn't
until
on
now.
The plate. Hey, anything can go here. That'd be my option. Good question, though. Anything else, you guys? Thank you. You're
thank
amazing.
You.
I really
thank
this show was epic. I love you all. Thank you. This is great. And thank you to my amazing team, Ken, Jamie, your interns, producer Lark, and Michael. And thank you all for checking out the show and subscribing and telling your friends. And you can also send me questions if you have them. You can text them. Ask Emily one word to 797979. You'll get a bounce back link and then you can ask questions there. And also follow me on social media. I love talking to you guys there. I do answer most of the most of your questions unless they're way too long and then you just got to email me. So anyway, thank you everyone for listening. Was it good for you? Email me feedback@sexwithemily.com.